Well, welcome back to Health Cetera in the Catskills. I'm Diana Mason, the host of this program, and you're listening to WIOX Community Radio, live and local in the Catskill Mountains at 91.3 FM in the region, and MTC Cable Channel 20, and everywhere, streaming at WIOXradio.org. That's WIOXradio.org. And you can also get WIOX on any smart device through the TuneIn or FM radio apps. So the Trump administration is proposing to significantly change the food stamp program on which so many people depend, including people in our Catskill region. Public Health Solutions, and for transparency, I'm on their board of directors, Public Health Solutions plays a large role in the New York City food stamp program and are thought leaders nationally as well on all kinds of issues. And I'm pleased to have Aylin Liu, program manager for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program for Public Health Solutions, join me today to talk about the proposed changes that the Trump administration has put out there and with a potential impact on individuals and families who really depend upon them. Aylin, thanks so much for coming on to Health Cetera in the Catskills today.
Hi, Diana. You're welcome. Thank you so much for inviting.
So tell us briefly how the food stamp program works for those who may not know it.
Yes. So the food stamps program is now called a Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP. It is a critical safety net program to address food insecurity for low-income individuals and families. It has produced significant healthcare cost savings. Each state has its own SNAP application and enrollment process based on the federal guideline, but in general, it includes complete an SNAP application, have an interview with the state official, which is often a phone interview, document the financial and other household composition situation, report changes in household circumstance on a regular basis, and also recertify usually every year.
So what is Public Health Solutions involved with food stamps? So you're an organization that really is focused on promoting the health and well-being of vulnerable families in the New York City region, but you are a thought leader in the state and nationally as well. What is PHS's Public Health Solutions involvement with food stamps?
Right, so Public Health Solutions has been enrolling individuals and families in SNAP since 2007, and annually we enrolled approximately 20,000 people, or about 4,100 households in SNAP.
And so you're really enrolling people, and you get to see what the need is and who's coming to the food stamp program and who's not?
Right. So we have trained staff members at offices located in all five boroughs in New York City. We help clients to determine whether they qualify for SNAP benefits, which documents they need to apply, and our staff are also available to help with the application submission process. So to your question, yes, we are seeing the real-life situation every day.
And how many people do you have in through your program on food stamps in the city?
So right now our team has 14 people. We're all trained.
But I mean people who are getting food stamps.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So every year we enrolled around like 20,000 people.
20,000. And do you know the number nationally?
Yeah, nationally it's around 38 million people.
Wow. So I did, I tried to get somebody from the Delaware County Social Services Department to come on today, but they were unable to do so. But I did talk with Sylvia Armano, who's the Deputy Commissioner for Delaware County Social Services. And she told me that here in the Catskills, where we have about 45, in Delaware County, where we have a population of 45,000, there are 4,141 people on food stamps. There are, and cases, which may include families, are 2,415. So that, we have 10% of our population in rural Delaware County who depend upon food stamps. And so,
yeah,
go ahead.
That's actually the same, like approximately 10% of the current U.S. food stamps user within New York City.
Yeah, yeah. Now, so it's an important program, and some people like to think, well, it's a handout. But we have a lot of evidence, don't we, that food stamps reduce hunger and promote health. Can you speak to some of the evidence that this program makes a difference in people's lives?
Yeah, there's definitely a significant amount of research that shows the impact of SNAP on improved health and lower healthcare costs. For example, if you look at a study from 2018 from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, it actually found that SNAP reduces the overall prevalence of food insecurity by as much as 30%. It also found to be even more effective among vulnerable populations. And data also shows that food insecurity among children fell by approximately one-third after their families received SNAP benefits for 6 months. And I would also want to emphasize the importance of receiving SNAP among the elderly population because it supports medication adherence by freeing up resources to pay for critical care. And studies found
again?
That...
Say that again?
So actually... Studies found that the elderly SNAP participants are less likely to forego their full prescribed dosage of medicine due to cost compared to the similar non-participants.
So this is medications that you have to take with food? No.
Not necessarily, but because it frees up the resources. So people can use the resource to pay for their needed medical care.
I see. So one of the criticisms, of course, and in fact, it's one of the arguments that the Trump administration is using to make these real changes, is that there are people who are getting food stamps who shouldn't be getting them. In one case, there was a billionaire who supposedly was getting food stamps for some years. How prevalent is fraud and people being on food stamps who really shouldn't be?
So based on our experience and also based on study and reports, the primary user of food stamps include low-wage working families, low-income seniors, people with disabilities living on fixed incomes, and other individuals and households with low incomes. So the data from USDA says that SNAP-related fraud identified in 2016 accounted for less than 1% of the total benefits dollars. So I would say while there have been cases of people maybe taking advantage of the system, this is really uncommon. The program is an important safety net to address food insecurity for people who need support. And also there is a common misunderstanding around the SNAP program when people think it's a long-term benefit, but actually it's not. It's a temporary benefit. We would see that the SNAP enrollment number decreased year by year because of the economic condition has improved, and people have gradually phased out their benefits as their income increased.
So what are the changes that the Trump administration is proposing to make in the food stamp program?
Right. So it's actually proposed changes to, it will make it more difficult for individuals and family to qualify. So I can give you an example. So right now, for a family of four people who's somebody is working, as long as they're income monthly income is lower than $3,138, they're qualified for SNAP. However, after the changes, the income limit would become $2,720, which is actually really hard for a family to live in New York City, for example, where we pay for very costly housing and other living expenses.
Yeah. And so they're proposing to change eligibility requirements. My understanding is that they're also proposing to change how you get on food stamps. That right now, if you qualify for welfare, if you qualify for TANF, and why can't I remember what TANF means?
It's temporary assistance.
Thank you. Yeah. So it's what we called welfare some time ago, but the name was changed. So for TANF, that if you qualified for TANF, you automatically qualified for food stamps. And now they're saying, no, if you qualify for TANF, you're going to have to apply separately for food stamps. Why is that a problem?
Because that would set another difficulty for people to receive the benefits they should be receiving. The application process is very complicated for many people, and that's one of the problem. And includes if this is changed, it will include a review of income and assets, which is right now not part of the rules for people who is currently receiving a TANF welfare.
Yeah, we know that the more hoops you put in front of people to apply for safety net programs, the more difficult it is for them, and the less likely they are to actually apply. It's another way to sort of diminish the ranks of people on food stamps, even if they need it. The other change that just came out, I think it was yesterday, it could have been today, I'm not sure when it was, or Tuesday maybe, I think, yeah, that's yesterday, was that, and the administration did not publicize this, was that these changes could have a real impact on school lunch programs and could diminish the number of children getting free school lunches or reduced price free lunches. Was that news to you as well the other day?
So actually, that's something, that's a consequence we've been thinking about ever since we see the proposed changes. Because right now, young people are automatically qualified for SNAP if their family is receiving SNAP. However,
they automatically qualify for
school meals.
Okay.
That's
all right.
However, if the changes are implemented, those kids would be required to apply separately to access those bills, and more than 500,000 children will lose their automatic eligibility.
Oh. Do you have any sense of how many children that would affect in New York City?
I would say probably about 40,000.
40,000. So we do have evidence showing that healthy school meals support academic success, obesity prevention, and overall student health. We also know that there's a lot of shaming going on in some schools where students are having a hard time paying for the school lunch and or breakfast, or paying for some of them it's a reduced fee. And recently there was a school in Pennsylvania that sent a letter to the family saying, if you don't pay your school lunch debt, we're going to put your child in foster care. I mean, it's stunning to me. It's stunning.
Right.
How can we do this?
Exactly.
These are children. Go ahead.
Right. And I also think it's so important to ensure that the kids are fed and they're not going hungry, because there can be severe consequences, not just for their health, but also academic performance,
and
it would lead to a long-term impact on their development.
Yeah. And so there was a quote from someone from the Heritage Foundation, Jonathan Butcher, a senior policy analyst at the Conservative Heritage Foundation, who said that the rule would ensure that the government was, quote, providing resources to the children who are in need and not providing resources to those who are not in need. That was stunning to me, Aylin, because there's also this issue. I think there are some progressive schools that are just deciding we're just going to give free lunches to everyone, because it stigmatizes the poor children when they can't afford to pay, when they're on a free program or their parents are in debt paying the reduced price. Does it make sense to you to try to identify a few people who are not qualifying for maybe could afford to pay and take others off the rolls who really do need it?
I think to me it's still very unclear how we can make sure everyone who's in need will get the food they need in school with eliminating these with these changes. So it's very unclear to me whether that would happen. It's very ideal, but
I think I'd rather have my tax dollars going to support children in need, and I'd pay for the few who we couldn't identify who, in fact, I think all children should have free lunches and free breakfasts. Anyway, that's my position. So there are also some other challenges in these proposed changes, although I think this might be a separate one, because the rules that are being proposed actually have a 60-day comment period, and then they could be enacted. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So right now we're already in the 60-day public comment period. It's from July 24th to September 23rd, 2019.
And there is another proposed change, but I'm not sure that this would be able to be enacted by a rule change. Somebody suggested to me that it would have to be legislation. And that's that they're proposing that instead of giving people food stamps, they would ship families boxes of food. Is that proposed legislation or regulation?
That's something that's really impractical to our point of view as someone who is working on the field with people, because sending a box of food to people, one, it's stigmatizing the benefits that people is receiving, which so the program has been renamed to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, and also changed from a food voucher to a card that's similar to a debit card, mm-hmm. which is the effort that we put into to eliminate stigma. If it becomes a food box that will be sent to people's home, or people will have to go to a certain location to pick up, then it will be, the food will be categorized as government food. And also, people has their choice to choose which food they want to eat, right? And if you're deciding it's impractical to decide what food to send to people only because they're low income. Because everyone comes from different culture, and they have their own diet habits, and they have their preference. So to me, the food box is totally impractical.
The other thing that occurred to me is that, of course, delivering these food boxes would be a major challenge. Of course, the delivery businesses would make out, but what happens to local supermarkets such as ours? We have very few supermarkets up in the rural area of the Catskill Mountains. And what happens to those supermarkets that are used by people who are using those food stamp cards? As well as, we've got a program in the county where people can use their food stamps at farmers markets, which I think there is in New York City too. So you're talking about taking away the business from local supermarkets and from farmers that are already operating on a thin margin. It doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we're almost out of time, but how likely is it that these changes will move forward?
It's very likely. So I would encourage that we take advantage of the 60-day public comment period and to prevent these rules from taking effect.
Okay. And how do people do that?
So people can go to the Food Research and Action Center website, which is frac.org, frac.org, to submit their comments.
Okay, frac.org, and you can submit comments there. Great. And finally, if people want more information about Public Health Solutions and the work you're doing, how can they do that?
Yeah, they're welcome to check on our website, which is www.healthsolutions.org. It has information and resources.
One more time?
www.healthsolutions.org.
Aileen Liu, Program Manager for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program for Public Health Solutions, thank you so much for coming on to Health Center and the Catskills today.